That's my calling, to be your servant. And we all serve in different ways in ministry. And one of the ways we serve God is through our worship. Let's bow our heads and pray. Whatever else is going on in our lives, dear God, we come here to worship you today. We are in your presence. And we thank you so much because you have blessed us with many things. Some of us have wounds that need to be healed. Some of us have praises that we would like to shout from the mountaintop. But we are here today because we love you and we will serve you with our lives. In Jesus' name. I want to welcome all of you, and especially if you're visiting with us for the first time, I would like to remind you to fill out a welcome card that is in your pew. That's a wonderful way for us to get to know you a little bit better. If you fill that card out and put it in the offering plate or give it to one of the ushers, either way, it will get back to me. And I want to especially acknowledge that you have been visiting with us, and we are so glad to have you. We want you to feel a part of us, a part of our family of God. And one of the things we do together as a family of God is to greet one another with the peace of Christ. Let us pass the peace.
Good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day it is. I am Diane Rood. I'm here to serve you as a liturgist for the month of October, and I'm so happy to see all of you here. We have a few things that got missed off of the insert. Thank you. One is there is a worship committee meeting on Tuesday at 7 and a finance committee meeting at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. And then Wednesday there will be no nominating committee. Statements are available in the back. They're alphabetized, so you just find your alphabet. We have a missing umbrella. Penny Thompson has a blue umbrella with black push-button handle and a white lettering. So if anybody has seen that or knows where it is, she would like it before the next rain day. Hey, which could be today. The Love Bugs are making these hymnal angels, and they're from the old Cokesbury hymnals, and they're $15 each. And if you would like to order one, you would see Peggy. Well, let's have the ladybug people stand up. Love bugs. These ladybugs, yes. So you would see, and then Myra in the back, so you would see one of these ladies if you'd like to purchase one for $15. What else do we have? Anything? And that's over. Okay. The Unity service that's been postponed is October 11th at 6:30, and that is at Grace Episcopal Church on Kingsley. Okay. Are there any other announcements?
It's in the bulletin. The next Sunday is feeding the body and soul. For those of you who don't know what it is, 5 o'clock, we get together and have supper. It's a love offering. If you can't afford to pay, there's no problem. Just come enjoy fellowship with everybody else. It's open to the community. Bring people. I want you to bring as many people as possible. After that, we have a get-together in here in the sanctuary where we praise God for all the things that have happened in our lives. Too often we forget that one of the most important things we can do is to praise Him for every aspect of what's going on in our lives.
Amen.
Even the small things. Amen. So please, mark your calendars, come out. Iris is going to be our person that's going to share next week. And we're going to have meatloaf, roasted potatoes, and I haven't figured out the vegetable yet, but we will have that and dessert.
Amen. Well, I do have, and it was just the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I was really led to make this announcement today. Speaking of serving, next Sunday, October 15th, is Laity Sunday. Laity means all of us, but we do have some certified lay speakers in our church. And our very own Bob Seymour will be speaking at the 11 o'clock service next Sunday. So I encourage everyone to come out and give him an ear. He is truly a man of God and will have an inspiring word for each of us. And I want to thank Bob for all his service and everything that he does in our church.
Amen.
And also, I would like prayers for the pastor because she will be on vacation next week. So we want to lift her up in prayer and pray that she has a wonderful renewal of her spirit, mind, body, and soul so that when she comes back and joins us week after next, she will be inspired.
Amen.
Praise God.
And Bob has an announcement.
Orange tie for the pumpkin patch, yes. Thanks for that introduction to mine. What I'm here for is the pumpkin patch. Each of you have this inside the bulletin that was given out today. It's an opportunity for you to sign up for the pumpkin patch. You don't have to fill this out. You can go out in the hallway and fill it on the calendar itself if you'd like. But this gives me a chance to make sure there's no conflicts with days you want to use and so forth. The day is like, the 14th, the 8th, not Saturday. because there's three of them in the selling period, four Mondays in the selling period. So please give me a day on that. As you can see, there is no pumpkins out there. They were due to arrive at 8 a.m. Saturday morning. At 9:30 Friday night, we heard they will be here Monday at 4 p.m. So tomorrow at 4 p.m., we're supposed to have a truckload of pumpkins sitting in our yard out there. They got to come off of the truck and lay on the pallets. And to my knowledge, they don't have feet. So that means somebody's got to move them off of the truck and onto the pallets. And I'm asking for your help. But I'm also saying 4 p.m. is when the truck's going to be here. We would like to have at least a few, maybe 100, come out and help us finish putting the pallets out in the lot and getting it ready to put the pumpkins on. If you look out there now, all the pallets are stacked up close to the church. We need to get them out into the lot so that we can offload the truck and put the pumpkins straight on the pallets. So if you can be here, say, 2 o'clock Monday, that would be great for us to get the pallets out and get ready for the truck. As I spoke last week, we are using the pumpkin patch as a mission. It's a mission for us, the church, to reach out to the community. A chance for us to say, hey, we're here. Hey, we want to help. Hey, come and have fun. Today, people come to church to see if they want to belong to a church. They don't come because their parents went to church every Sunday or come because they have found religion. Sadly, for me, because I'm an old person, they come first to find out if they fit in. We want the pumpkin patch to introduce us to those people so they can come and find out if they fit in. And then once they're here, passing of the peace, greeting them every chance you get, let them know that they are a part of us, and we welcome them here. Thank you.
And we do have hot dogs to feed everyone tomorrow night, but we do need other supplies, like buns and cookies and brownies. Just food to feed our own chips. Food to feed our helpers. Keep them strong. If there's no other announcements, turn to the back of your bulletin for the opening words. O Lord, you are God. There is no other God but you.
We renounce all that we have allowed to come between us.
O Lord, we worship you. We praise and honor your name.
We worship you on this holy day.
For your love, for your word, for all that you have given.
O Lord, we thank you and praise you. We love you. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 404, we will sing Every Time I Feel the Spirit.
Every time I feel the
turn to 882 in your hymnals, we will have our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
How's everybody doing today? I don't know if y'all will know what I have in my hand. What I want to know is, does anybody have this in their house? Some of you have something like this in your house? And Christian said what it was. It's a light bulb. And what? It lights up. No, in your head. No. You plug it in, right? You plug it into a lamp, and then you turn the switch, or pull the cord, one or the other, and the light comes on. Now, what you may not know is who made this. Who made the light bulb, the first light bulb, not who makes them now. Is that what they told me at the last service? GE makes them. No. Who made the very first light bulb? Nope. Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison. And there's a wonderful story when they were making the prototype. Does everybody know what that is? A prototype, what is it, Christian? It's the thing before you do it, he says. Yes, a prototype is the thing before you do it. They had never had a light bulb before, and so they were making one from scratch. And he had a whole team of people that were making one, and it took them 24 hours to make one light bulb. And what happened was Thomas Edison had for some reason, the lamp or the contraption was on the second floor. So they gave the light bulb, which is, what is this, glass, right? It's pretty fragile. They gave the light bulb, the only one they had, to a boy who acted as a messenger, who took it from the lab that was downstairs to Thomas Edison, who was upstairs to put it in the contraption, which they didn't call a lamp yet. Anyway, and so the boy very carefully took the bulb because it was very fragile and it was the only one. And they had spent 24 hours making it. And they climbed up the stairs. The little boy took the, and guess what happened at the top of the stairs? He dropped it and it broke. So they had to start all over again. And 24 hours later, they had one more bulb. And guess what they did then? Did they give it to the little boy to take upstairs again? They did. they gave it to him to take upstairs again. And that time, he didn't drop it. They gave him another chance. And the reason I wanted to tell you that story is because we believe in a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. God will give us another chance. And I am just so grateful to God for God's love of you and for me. Let's bow our heads. We are grateful that you love us. We pray that you will continue to give us more chances, because we will surely need them in our lives. We are not perfect people, but we try to love you the best we know how. And dear God, thank you so much for your love of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Pick the one you want. You're welcome. Study it. There's a lollipop right there. Do you like lollipops? One right there. You always get a lollipop. That time you got sweet tart. You're welcome. I'm just thankful that I didn't break this light. I took it out from one of my lamps at home. Let me invite the ushers to come forward as we continue to worship God with the giving of our gifts. Our sacrifice to God today is what we make in this offering. Let us pray. From you, O God, come all gifts, for which we give you praise and thanksgiving. And today we offer ourselves to you in this small way, a giving of ourselves for you. In the name of Christ, use us and use these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
are so worthy of trust. God's mercy falls on the just and the right. Full of God's love is the earth. Rain down, rain down, rain down your love on your people.
We need God to rain down more than ever. We need more grace, more God all the time. I want to share some words of praise this morning as we go to God in prayer. And that's for Jean Story, whose life right now among us is a miracle. You know, she has been dealing with cancer, which spread. And actually, this is something for Anna to be happy about. If she knew what I was about to say, because Jean Story underwent chemotherapy treatments, underwent surgery, but don't you know it was the prayers? It was the prayers. Because as of now, as of today, after her PET scan, she has no sign of cancer anywhere. After her colonoscopy, it was completely normal. There's nothing in her body now other than what's supposed to be there. And so we give thanks and praise to God. There are needs in our church, and I want to mention Chuck Long, who has been working toward his recovery at Life Care on Wells. And so we continue to pray for him. And I know there are others that could be lifted up, and invite you to share with God in these moments. If you would go to God in prayer with me by bowing your heads, closing your eyes, and opening your hearts. And sense God speaking to you today. And then make your prayer known. If you feel led by the Spirit to share it out loud among us, do so. Or silently make your prayer to Almighty God, who hears us, who loves us. All of these, O Lord, we lay at your feet. We trust and know, dear God, that you hear us when we pray. That our prayers do not go unanswered or unheard. That your love for us is not in vain. We pray, dear God, that you will continue to shine your light upon us as well as this church, to give us what we need, to show us the way to go, and to help lead us when we go astray. The power of your love is at work in ways that we cannot know or see. But we know, dear God, that you are with us. We do remember those who are suffering today because of wounds due to violence, due to loss of life. And we cry with them, dear God, and know that you have shed tears on our behalf. But just give us the power to do your will, the grace to share your love, and to guide us when we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
If you would please stand and turn to 528 in your hymnal. We will sing Nearer My God to Thee, verses 1, 3, and 5. Please be seated.
The scripture this morning, we have two, Isaiah 5, 1 through 7, and Matthew 21, 33 through 46. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it with stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall be not pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are the pleasant planting. He expected justice, but he saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. And in Matthew 21:33-46, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, but put a fence around it, dug the wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect the produce. But the tenants seized the slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce of the at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that was rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parables, they realized he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. This is the word of God for the people of God.
In my growing up years, we used to take a camping trip every summer for vacation. And we usually camped. We liked to go to the mountains of western North Carolina and get away from my dad's church for a while, get a break, renew, recover. But one of the things that was a tradition about our trip was that we always took the back roads. We didn't take the highway. We took the back roads. We especially liked to see the sights that you couldn't see on the highway. But as one drives these very slow mountain roads around places like Hanging Dog or Squirrel Ridge, you occasionally come across a broken-down old farmhouse sitting abandoned on the side of the road. The porch is fallen in. I'm sorry, I thought you were speaking to me. The porch has fallen in, the glass in the windows is broken or missing, and the barn roof has been blown off, and weeds are growing up in the yard, and branches poke out of the door. it has gone to waste. And I find this picture very sad. It's a sad sight. And I have to wonder to myself, well, what happened to this farm? Did the parents die and the children move away? Or did they go bankrupt and have to be forced out of their homes? The prophet Isaiah, whom you heard Diane read for us, uses the image of a neglected farm, a vineyard, in our first lesson. And the beloved is the Lord, and the vineyard is Israel. The Lord created Israel, plucked them up from Egypt and planted them, carried them to the promised land and planted them there. And they were meant to be the grapes growing in the vineyard are the people of Israel. He established them there to flourish. The winemaker clears the land, plants the vines, and builds a watchtower and a hedge around it to protect it and keep it safe. The owner, the beloved, who is the Lord, left the vineyard in the care of the people. But the people have not produced good fruits. They have not taken care of the vineyard. Wild grapes are growing. And so the owner, the beloved, says that he is removing his protection, tearing down the hedge, letting it go to ruin. And in the last verse, we know why he did this. He drops the analogy and he says plainly, he expected justice but saw bloodshed, righteousness but heard a cry. Now, it would be easy for us, and a temptation, to hear this text and start pointing fingers backwards. Those ancient Israelites, they sure messed up, didn't they? They failed to be just, and they failed to bear good fruit. They ran after other gods, and look what happened to them. It would be easy, but it would be wrong. The church is not primarily a history lesson. We read those words still today, although all these many years later, because they still apply not simply to those people way back then, but to us sitting right here in this room, here and now. So what then is the vineyard that God has given us? And what have we done with the vineyard? As the man in The Wizard of Oz says, that's a horse of a different color. The vineyard the Lord our beloved has given us is not the promised land, but the church of Christ. And by that, I don't mean this building here on Blanding Boulevard, this physical space. I don't mean the Constitution and the bylaws of the United Methodist Church. Those things aren't the vineyard. They are the watchtowers and the hedgerows there to protect the vineyard. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the word, the sacraments, the promise of forgiveness and healing, the washing away of sins, the dying and rising with Christ, the food that we share for our journey, these are the vineyard. These are what we are called to take care of so that they may yield good fruit for the Lord. But occasionally I think that we modern Christians are more like the tenants in the gospel lesson. Instead of being grateful to God, we find ourselves trying to keep everything for ourselves, afraid that we're going to run out and not have enough, whatever enough is. We don't necessarily kill the messengers, but we find a way to fend them off. But I want you to know today, I want you to hear, I want you to feel, I want you to experience that none of us can resist the love of God shown to us in the death of Jesus upon the cross. And when we finally realize that Christ is there, hanging in humiliation and death, dying because of a love too great to hate, dying because of a mercy so strong, that instead of punishing us for our rebellion and ingratitude, he showed us the way to live by giving up everything and being willing to die. When we finally see that, when we finally know that, when we finally experience that, the scales fall off our eyes and we understand what it is that we're called to do and to be. We are the people who tend the vineyard, making sure that every person in the world feels the love of God in their life. If you don't feel God's love, I want to offer it to you today and say that you can have a different life. If you do feel God's love, you are already transformed into his body, his people, this people called to be tenders of the vineyard, so that others, too, will know that great good news that is for the whole world. Do not resist, but believe. This morning, before we depart, I want to announce that we have a couple new tenders of the vineyard. We have new members coming to us today. And I would like to invite them to come forward. We have Ruby Oliva, who's coming up, and Cesar and Annie Hernandez, who is also coming up to join the church and become part of the vineyard that we care for here at Calvary. And I would ask the congregation to turn to page 37. About halfway down, where it says confirmation or reaffirmation of faith, all of these before you have been baptized. Cesar and Annie are coming to us from another congregation, a sister church. And Ruby is coming to us on reaffirmation of faith. And so because she is reaffirming her faith today, well, I say to all of you as baptized Christians, remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. And then Ruby, would you kneel? Ruby, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may stand. And now on page 38, we see both the reception into the United Methodist Church and the reception into the local congregation. My first question to all of you is, as members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? I will. And then, finally, I ask you, as members of this congregation at Calvary United Methodist, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? Amen. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Will you respond together? We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now I'm going to ask them to turn around so that you may welcome them. Here you go. Thank you so much. God bless you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Ruby. God bless you.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of the trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow.
The Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, rest now and abide with each of you As you leave this place, go in his peace. Amen.
We'd like to recognize a very special person.
Amen.
It's her 22nd birthday. Thank you.